It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, the Arrow Fire was the first major incident of the 2024 summer fire season in the Motherlode. It ignited on June 17th in Copperopolis, caused a lot of concern in a short period of time and widespread evacuations in that area, eventually burning around 5,300 acres. Joining us on the program first today will be Eric Holt, who is the new Office of Emergency Services Director for Calaveras County. Later on, we're also going to hear a little bit about the early attack as detailed by at the Calaveras County Board of Supervisors special meeting by Cal Fire Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy and Calaveras Under Sheriff Rochelle Whiting. But first off, OES Director Holt, thank you for coming on and joining us today.
Absolutely. I appreciate you inviting me on.
So you've been in the role of OES Director for just about a month, right?
A little bit over, yeah. I think the fire struck on my 46th calendar day being in the county.
Got it. So this is the first time we've talked to you on this show. What did you do prior to the OES position?
I was a fire chief out in Colorado. It was my last position.
So what was it that drew you back to Calaveras County?
Well, I grew up here, attended Calaveras Unified School District all the way through elementary through high school, and all my family is from here. So I grew up right here in San Andreas, California. So it's kind of a returning home after 22 years away of after graduating, joining the military, and going about my fire service career.
That's great. So take us back, June 17th. You know, what was happening behind the scenes when the Arrow Fire was first starting to take off?
Well, my initial entry into the event was Chief Cashy called me and said, hey, we've got a start that's got a really rapid rate of growth in Copperopolis, just giving you a heads up. And, you know, we were ending our workday sort of. That would have been 3:30 in the afternoon. So we kind of took some preemptive actions to call all of our emergency support function leads and say, hey, we've got something, you know, kind of stand by in case we need to activate the EOC. And we went ahead and did a full activation at 4:30 p.m. on the 17th.
So it was pretty quick then when you knew that this was going to be an incident of kind of that part of the county concern.
Yeah, absolutely. The rate of spread and the growth of the fire definitely was fast. So we knew that we were going to have a lot of evacuees. You know, a major thoroughfare of Highway 4 was already in the compromised state. So we wanted to get going real fast and, you know, obviously protect life and safety.
So who were some of the other players that were involved in the fight with the Arrow Fire?
Well, definitely our sheriff's office here hit a home run. They were so quick in sending out evacuation warnings and really coordinating that effort, along with, of course, all of the firefighters out there that were working real hard in that heat and those conditions to make sure that, you know, we put an attack on that fire. From our end at the county, I think we had over 1,500 man hours dedicated overtime to managing and coordinating our EOC.
There were some extended power outages for a while that went from Copperopolis and Angels Camp, even parts up into Murphy's. Did you get kind of an explanation from PG&E about what was going on with that situation?
Yeah, right down the center of the perimeter of the fire, basically, was the PG&E's transmission line, and then, of course, their transmission lines that go to more residential areas. So that was impacted pretty early on in the fire. So I'd say they de-energized those lines, from my understanding, and of course they reported to us. We had an amazing flow of information from PG&E as well as CCWD on our infrastructure out there. But I think we initially estimated 6,000 residents of the county without power on that first day.
And then the Board of Supervisors this past Monday held a special meeting to ratify a local state of emergency for the Arrow Fire. What can you tell us about what that means?
Yeah, so, you know, we make that determination based on if it exceeds our local resources in declaring the state of or the declaration of an emergency. And with the amount of residents that we had that were in the evacuation zone, which I think the high mark on that was 5,115 off the top of my head, and thousands without power, in the heat, we knew we had a lot of resources that were going to be needed. So we went ahead and drafted that and signed it on the first day, I think around 5:30 p.m. And then we began opening our shelters immediately. We ended up utilizing San Joaquin County OES, and they assisted us with the shelter site out at the San Joaquin County Fairgrounds, as well as Tuolumne County assisting us with animal services. And that's what really allows us to utilize the state resources and mutual aid agreements. Sheriff's Office called in several mutual aid departments for managing the evac area of Copperopolis. So that's really our segue into being able to utilize all those resources within the, our state mutual aid agreements.
Were you able to get an estimate as to how many people ended up going to the evacuation centers?
It varied by day. I think the first night we were close to like 150. Uniquely, we had the new laws in California. We had to set up sheltering for our pets as well. So that kind of changed where we were going to set up. But I think our high mark was about 150 on night one, and then it kind of dwindled through Wednesday when ultimately we were able to shut our shelters because everybody had gone home or was no longer using them.
Anytime, too, you have a major highway like 4 closed and O'Burns Ferry Road, it creates some traffic issues. I imagine that was kind of a celebration to see those roads back come back open.
Yeah, you know, in emergency management or emergency services for our folks out in the field, the greatest victory is getting to see people go home. And I know that that takes some time, and when people see the smoke dissipate and things appear in the skyline like things are normal, our folks are out there doing hard work and ensuring that it's safe to enter, and that's really a huge point of victory when we get to see our residents go back home because their home's still there and it's safe for them to re-enter.
We just heard from CAL FIRE that the fire is 100% contained. That's kind of a newer development. You know, have you had time to kind of assess, like, look ahead, like what type of cleanup is going to be, you know, on the horizon from a county perspective post-fire?
Yeah, we're going through. So through CAL OES, we do what's called an initial damage assessment, and we've been going through that. We did have a couple structures lost and, you know, resources for homeowners that have lost their residents, all sorts of things like that. But yeah, as of today, we're 100% containment, which is a huge victory and great benchmark. But we'll be working for the next, you know, 60 days in those assessments. And then within 6 months, we'll have a plan for, all the project completions and all that. So it's not something that ends when the fire is 100% contained. It's really when our recovery work begins. But we're working through that with our state partners and, everybody here in the county, in our accounting.
And we are focusing on the Arrow Fire on this weekend's Motherlode Views. It burned over 5,200 acres near Copperopolis, igniting back on June 17th. It is now 100% contained. During this first segment, we've been talking with Eric Holt, who is the Calaveras County Office of Emergency Services Director. We're going to pick up on this conversation a little bit later on in the show. Coming up next, though, we're going to hear a little bit from CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy, as well as the Undersheriff for Calaveras County, Rochelle Whiting. They spoke at a special Calaveras County Board of Supervisors meeting this past Monday in which an emergency declaration was passed in relationship to the Arrow Fire. We'll have more on that coming up in just a minute on Motherlode Views.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are focusing on the Arrow Fire response on this weekend show. It is the first major fire of 2024 in the fire season. It ignited on June 17th in Copperopolis, burned about 5,300 acres, and it is now 100% contained, thankfully. During the last segment, we talked with Eric Holt, who is the Calaveras County Office of Emergency Services Director. During the special meeting of the Board of Supervisors this past Monday, Nick Cashy, who is the CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief, spoke about the early attack efforts on the Arrow Fire. We're going to play some of that audio right now.
The incident started on the 17th of June at 3:30 in the afternoon, or 3:29 to be exact. There was a red flag warning in effect. However, technically, if you would ask the Weather Service, it didn't necessarily reach the fire area, but I can assure you that it did. Regardless of that line, the conditions we saw were a red flag condition. With the fire start and the heavy north wind push, we experienced the fire growth with the initial reported being about 30 to 40 acres, with spotting a quarter mile. In the next 10 minutes, we had a report of a spot a half mile, and then the air attack reported a spot three quarters of a mile out ahead of itself. So with that rapid expansion, our intel aircraft was over the scene to advise 1,500 acres within the first hour of the fire, which is rapid expansion, one in which we haven't had in that area, that footprint since 1994. So the command staff that was at scene acknowledged that direct tactics weren't going to be effective due to the long-range spotting, along with the rapid fire growth, and they established command in order to expand the incident for indirect tactics as well as a heavy resource order. For fire resources, for reference, we have what CAL FIRE refers to as incident management teams, which come in to assist in managing large incidents once they exceed the unit's capabilities. Logistically, tends to be the biggest driver in that. We can usually support about 500 people. At the peak of this incident, we were about 1,025 line personnel assigned. So as the fire expanded, I went and responded to the incident to assist the command staff to ensure that we were supported from the region with resources. And when we made our way onto Hunt Road from Highway 4, we could tell immediately that Highway 4 was not going to be a control point in which we'd be able to enforce due to the spotting. Typically, we try to take advantage of natural barriers or human-made barriers that we're able to establish lines at, and we instantly recalibrated our priorities to find control lines further out, provide evacuation recommendations to the sheriff for implementation, and then also ensure that our local ranchers were able to have access and moving cattle out of the fire's path as it was expanding. So where it came together for the incident, we acknowledged that the community of Copper, what I would call Old Town Copper along O'Burns Ferry, was going to be threatened immediately. And if you've followed some of the media, you've seen some of those fire pictures behind Copper Elementary School as it rapidly progressed to the south and to the east. We had a large support of resources, both aerial assets and ground resources that came in. And with the skill of the unit personnel, our local government cooperators, and some outside units that were there in the first few hours, we started a firing operation from the old ranch on Pyle Road to come down and start firing out ahead of the fire on Pyle Road, which actually was a control line that was used in 1994 with success. During that, we had another firing operation that grabbed into the riparian area of Black Creek and started progressing to the north and the west with the goal of tying this in with fire back into Highway 4. And the firing operation from Pyle Road and O'Burns Ferry then progressed all the way back up, and we were able to put fire in and around the Old Town Copper area as the main fire was still progressing this way. So if you think about that Christian Gulch area, which is the predominant gulch and ridge line to the east of the map, the fire as it runs across the top will then start backing down the sides of that mountain, kind of low intensity. And once it becomes in alignment again, then it'll make hard runs. So by doing a firing operation, we're able to control it and do it on our terms versus having to deal with that head fire that then typically goes over those barriers. Unfortunately for us at the incident, as these two operations were occurring, the fire came across Rock Creek Road in that very example that I just mentioned and made a hard run through several of the ranch properties and was headed towards what we called the Hodson Road area of Copper down here. We were lucky enough and with some skill to put some dozers and have another firing team tie into Highway 4, start pushing dozers and line back this way towards the north. And we were able to fire that and tie it in. And very proud of all the personnel, both local government and state, and our tribal cooperators that were able to keep this fire at 5,351 acres in the first burning period. That fire did not exceed that footprint for the remainder of the incident. We had the Type 1 incident management team come in and was able to assist logistically with plans and then additional staff to come up with a multi-day plan for rotations And we were able to keep the fire and the footprint it exceeded in about the first 5 hours. So I'm very proud of the staff for that. One thing of note was the main transmission lines that provide power into Angels Camp. They were immediately threatened by fire in a manner in which we couldn't mitigate the early part of the incident. Those run just down right off of Highway 4 and up over through the Christian Gulch area. And so the community of Angels Camp was impacted immediately because those lines were damaged. So very, very supportive of our local law enforcement, being the sheriff's office, the support we received from them for evacuations at the ICP. It was very seamless. The notification piece from OES, no incident that expands that rapidly is going to be smooth in the first few hours, but I would say I was really proud of all agencies making it as seamless as possible for what we were dealt. We did lose three structures. Those structures that were lost were on this Hodson Road area. I believe it's one residence and two outbuildings, and there was what we'll call some commercial structure damage down here near the old Highway 4 and Rock Creek intersection.
So that was CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy, the leader of the unit, who was talking about the early attack on the Aero Fire. Next, it was Rochelle Whiting, who is the undersheriff in Calaveras County, who explained what was going on when it comes to the massive evacuations that were called for.
As Chief Cashy noted, within the first couple of minutes, the first 911 calls that came in, we start sending resources, and our goal from the Sheriff's Office at the start of any wildland fire is to tie in with whoever the fire department incident commander is and start coordinating efforts immediately. So that began taking place within the first hour of this fire and how rapidly it was moving, and with really good communication with CAL FIRE notifying us based on their weather and wind outlook, knowledge of the fuel loads, previous burns, topography, everything, knowledge of fire behavior. They were able to notify us very early that this was going to go, and this wasn't going to be stopped with an immediate initial attack. So we activated provisions of our emergency plan, recalled personnel within the first hour, started creating emergency and contingency staffing plans. We sent all available deputies, detective, any other personnel that weren't initially on patrol. We had great support from the Calaveras Probation Department that assisted with our initial notifications, evacuation warnings, and orders. Great communication with CAL FIRE, giving us a timeline based on the rate of spread for knowledge of when it was going to jump Highway 4. It was essential for getting personnel west of the fire and coordinating ingress routes to get down to Copperopolis, and our guys knowing about at what point Highway 4 was unsafe to pass. So by 1800 hours, we had already coordinated with the Office of Emergency Services with the State of California Law Enforcement Mutual Aid. We ordered up an additional 10 two-man units, so 20 officers from outside of the area that came in for the nighttime shift to assist with both evacuations, and then knowing that we had evacuated the entire community down there, that we needed to immediately increase patrols for the safety and security of the homes and businesses. So we ramped up for that. So we put our personnel on 12-hour shifts, created at least a three to five day scheduling plan. And as soon as our field command linked up with the CAL FIRE incident commander, up to and after the transition of when the incident command team came in, we linked in with them. The communications from the field to the EOC, to our administrative staff in the EOC, were seamless. As soon as the field would relay to dispatch where warnings and orders needed to be in place, we utilized the Genesis system, which worked very well. It's very fast when notifying the community, so we continue to encourage anyone in Calaveras County to make sure you get access to that and know what zone you're located in. It's a very seamless system, and it makes communication go even faster than we can push out information by crafting press releases. So the Genesis system was a good investment, and we utilized it well. After the EOC was stood up, we continued coordination. Some kudos and some thank yous. Public Works, our county Public Works, did awesome getting some digital signs that the highway was closed, assisting us with barricades on our road closure and traffic control points. HHS has really done well creating their shelter plan and standing up the shelters and understanding our small community. We don't have a lot of ingress egress routes in emergencies. So when we shut down a major artery like Highway 4, we have to put up shelters in several different areas, not just one shelter, especially when you are evacuating several thousand people and not knowing. Some refuse to evacuate and they stay. Some will go with family and friends. Some will go without of the area. But to be able to have somewhere where both people and pets can go, that was stood up very fast in two different directions on either side of the incident. And then our coordination with animal services on starting to figure out our emergency ranch access pass. We did our best at the onset of the fire just to make sure there's a lot of ranch land that's covered in this fire. So we did our best to accommodate for livestock evacuations, and animal services did great throughout the whole fire to articulate if we needed to escort people in and get them out to meet those needs. And then coordinating with our utility partners, knowing that this affected a lot more communities than just Copperopolis and the power being shut down to Angels Camp. Those transmission lines serve some very critical infrastructure for the county. You have the Fowler Peak communication towers that went out of power, which means they were all running on generator or battery. So PG&E did a great job to prioritize that critical infrastructure as well as the City of Angels to re-energize the lines as soon as they can. And the Water District to letting us know the draw on the holding tanks down there and when to divert it from, you know, all the different fire resources to what it's going to look like for the residents repopulating. So start to finish, it was very rapid, but the coordination went very well.
Again, that was Calaveras Undersheriff Rochelle Whiting talking about the challenges that were faced when it comes to the Arrow Fire and getting so many people out of an area when a fire is burning. When we come back on Motherload Views, we're going to hear a few comments from the supervisors at the past meeting and when it comes to the passage of an emergency resolution following the Arrow Fire. And then we're also going to hear a little bit more from the OES director for Calaveras County, Eric Holt. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are focusing on the Arrow Fire on this weekend show, the first major fire of the 2024 fire season in the Motherload, burning about 5,300 acres, resulting in a lot of evacuations. Thankfully, that fire is now 100% contained, but it was the focus at a special meeting of the Calaveras County Board of Supervisors this week. We also heard earlier from Eric Holt, who is the Calaveras Office of Emergency Services Director. We're going to hear a little bit more from him in just a minute. But first, we're going to play some of the comments from the Board of Supervisors following the special meeting in regards to the declaring of an emergency declaration about the Arrow Fire. The comments first came from Benjamin Stopper, followed by Amanda Fallendorf, then it was Martin Hubbardy, and then it will be Gary Tofanelli and Jack Garamendi.
Just a thank you to everyone. Coordination, you know, you've been here a month, but you fell right into place, and just, you know, this everyone stepping up over the years, coming together with plans, working together in these instances, from the top in CAL FIRE with the state to our own OES and everyone else that's involved is phenomenal. Thank you all for doing a good job.
I just want to say thank you, especially to Eric and Rochelle and Nick for keeping me updated, whether it be text messages or calls, and coordinating that time zone. I really appreciate it. And I know hearing from constituents, everyone is very grateful and very happy and thankful to each and every one of you. But thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all the communication. Thank you for everything that everybody did. I just had a quick question, and that is, coming this fall when we have rains and the topography and just judging how close this fire came to residences, do you think that we'll have an issue with mud or what have you? Or is it grassland that we don't have to worry about, that sort of thing?
Right. I mean, typically, anytime that we have a hot fire that burns vegetation, you know, there is the chance for erosion in the next 1 to 2 years. So we'll have to see how that goes, and we'll monitor, of course.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I want to thank everybody for their efforts. It was fantastic. If you look at the overview of everything, you saved almost everything that needed to be saved. It was just an effort, a combined effort from everybody, evacuation, Michelle and Nick and all the fire departments. Thank you very much. It could have been much, 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 much. It could have destroyed the town of Copper, but you guys stepped in and did what you needed to do, and want to thank everyone involved in it. Thank you.
I want to add my voice to the comments from this board of supervisors to all of our team. You all did a wonderful job. You know, we dodged a bullet, and we're getting better every time. I often think back to 2015 and the progress that we've made as a team putting this together. I know you guys are going to have an after-action review and go through everything, and we're just getting better and better. And as I told people when they're calling, don't worry. I'm glad you're calling me. Don't call our responders. They are doing the work. And you guys really did the work, and it was impressive. I'm very, very proud of our response on this fire, and from everybody, Public Works, Environmental Health, Sheriff, Fire, OES, Health and Human Services, everybody knew their job and stepped up and went right into action. So our citizens should be very pleased with the work that's happened. You cannot always predict what the future is going to hold, but I think we could all say we're doing our best to get ready. And I want to just thank you all.
And again, that was the five Calaveras County Board of Supervisors offering praise in response to the Arrow Fire in the Copperopolis area. Going to bring Eric Holt back into the conversation, Calaveras County Office of Emergency Services Director. You know, the calendar, of course, has only just recently switched to summer for a couple of weeks now. There's still some hot several months ahead. You know, what advice do you have for a local residents just preparing for the remaining summer months here?
Yeah, just a high level of awareness for our conditions, our fuel moisture levels. You know, we get a lot of fire starts from people mowing their yards in the afternoon in our rocky terrain. And so making sure that we're planning how we conduct our lives and work around the houses and things like that, that can potentially impact our community in a huge way. As we can see, you know, these fires are moving quick, they're hot, and they're dangerous. We're early season. It's only going to get worse as the summer goes. So please be vigilant. Please be aware. Make sure that we're taking our best practices and precautions before we do anything that could potentially impact the entire community.
Yeah, good to have that to-go bag ready and map out any potential future evacuation routes in your neighborhood you may need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Planning ahead is the name of the game for us, and we always love when our residents take a proactive approach to it.
You know, as we wrap up today, any final comments you'd like to make in regards to the Arrow Fire?
I just want to commend everybody's work on that, from CAL FIRE down to the special fire districts, to our county employees, to our non-government organizations like Red Cross, our partners in the state, and San Joaquin County, Tuolumne County for their assistance. We got a lot of hard work done and accomplished to keep our residents safe, and we will always remain at the posture ready to continue that work, but let's all stay vigilant, let's all stay safe.
Yeah, great advice, OES Director Holt. We thank you for your time, and we hope it quiets down for your sake and the rest of the Motherlode's sake here over the coming weeks.
I appreciate that, and you know, the most important factor is our community is resilient and safe at all times, so we want to keep people in their homes, we want to keep them safe and healthy.
And that is a wrap on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We've been focusing on the Arrow Fire in Calaveras County, specifically the Copperopolis community, over 5,300 acres. It is now 100% contained. Programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we're going to be joined in the studio by Tracy Riggs, the Tuolumne County CAO. Tuolumne County has to have a new budget in place. They did by July 1st, and she's going to break down the budget and also look ahead to challenges that could be on the horizon when it comes to upcoming fiscal year budgets, when it comes to things like fire funding and roads and all those type of things. That's going to be next week on Motherlode Views with Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.